Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready to settle down and get with this? You know, settle into this feeling. Because you know it's a lot of love here.
What's up, world? It's your girl, Nika Love Coach. Ready to break down sex and relationship advice for the 21st century. Straight with no chaser. Are you ready to come inside? Well, welcome to the love in between.
Yes, sir. Welcome to another edition of The Love in Between. You are in the Love Lounge. You know that's our new chill spot to start the beginning of the week right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I am your host, Meek, the Love Coach, ready to deliver relationship advice that is, of course, straight with no chaser. Welcome. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. Tonight we definitely have a great host, a great guest coming on. That guest is Mr. Russell Irving. He is author of Don't Overlook the Obvious. So tonight we are going to talk about that, the first hour and maybe into the second. Let's see how things go. Don't overlook the obvious. Ways to improve your marriage relationship. We are going to talk about that tonight because I'm telling you guys, sometimes it's those little things that we either take advantage of or those little things that we do overlook. And sometimes if it goes back to basics, we would find that we would have a lot less trouble in problem solving. Not a lot less trouble, but a lot less trouble in problem solving in our relationships. And you know that we do here, we are solution focused. We're not a man basher. We're not a woman basher. It's really about the love in between, the love about you, yourself, and others. And, you know, we want to go ahead and get it in. So if you have a relationship dilemma or you are just in a dating game, give us a call at 347-994-1954. I would love to talk to you. So let's go ahead and get into the show, and let's go ahead and start with What's Up World. That's our edition of what's going on in the world of news, in the world of hip-hop news and entertainment. Talking too fast. I'm in a groove tonight. Have to let you know from the start, you guys, I didn't mention my sexy-sounding co-host, The Voice. I don't think he'll be joining us tonight. As most of you guys know, The Voice is also a recording artist, and right now he's actually shooting his first video with his group, The Collective. Honestly, true hip-hop indeed. I love just original hip-hop, not something manufactured. I love it when the producers produce. I love it when, you know, the lyricists write their lyrics. I'm a lover of hip-hop. I don't make any apologies about it. So my big homie is out there getting his Hollywood on with the video, and I cannot wait till that video actually comes out. So big ups to him and his group, The Collective, and we'll have more information about The Voice and what he's actually doing with his special individual products as we move on. You guys also know you guys can hit all of us up at theloveinbetween.com. That is the beginning of your relationship advice network. We talk about radio, the online magazine. We have some live events that's showing up if you're in this tri-state area of Delaware, Philly, and Jersey. And actually, we're going to go ahead and start doing some things like nationwide. So if you really want to request to have The Love in Between, Nika the Love Coach, and The Voice come to your area, hit us up at divasandgents.com. So, you know, we're making this thing global, worldwide. So let's go ahead and do it like we normally do it, get into the world of hip-hop news and entertainment. First, let's start with some science. I know I have some science fans out there one way or another. But I have a question for you. If you had the opportunity of taking a pill that would affect the sexual orientation of your child, would you take it? Researchers are actually reporting, according to Huffington Post, LA Times, that there is actually such a pill, that there is a condition that causes a female fetus to have more testosterone, and they believe that because they have more testosterone, they're more likely to have masculine tendencies and identifications, and they're saying that they actually have this pill created. Not for that purpose, but a side effect. The side effect could be actually changing whether or not a child is gay. Now, I cannot wait to see how this research actually develops. It's not about changing the sex of your child, but about their sexual preference as far as their mate. And my question is to you, would you actually take that pill? 347-994-1954, join the conversation with me, because I would definitely like to know what you think, because that, you know, science and your belief systems can collide when it comes to that. So, you know, that's definitely a hot topic, and I do hope we discuss that later on down the road. What else is going on in the world of hip-hop news and entertainment? You know what, I have one story off the top of my head, and I wanted to give you guys an update, and I'm so sorry about that. So let me go back to my notes and see what's actually going on. Of course, what's actually going on right now in New York City, there is actually a debate, controversy, whether or not a mosque should actually open up near Ground Zero. Everybody knows that's where the World Trade Center went down. And President Obama is actually getting into it, and it's really, he's like, you know, pretty much what America was based off of, and what that was, religious freedoms. And I can understand symbolically the mosque may mean some things to some people, but that is actually a debate actually going on. And the question is, to me, it crosses a thin line, because if we're going to start to dictate where people have the freedom to practice their religious values, would that actually affect whether or not people can actually practice their religious belief? I meant value. I said value, but I meant belief. But if we change or hinder or constrict people from building their religious or their spiritual temples or buildings, you know, will it bleed into the fact that certain religions will no longer be welcome in the United States of America? Highly improbable for the immediate future, but that's something to really take a look at. And honestly, Ramadan, this is day number 3, so, you know, to all my listeners out there who are of different faith, to all my listeners out there who are touched by someone who practices a different faith, you really have to take a look at the conversation. Never think that a national debate or national conversation does not include you, because it has a really funny way of trickling down to policies and procedures that can affect your work, that can affect your traffic, that can affect your DMV policies. I mean, so it's one of those things where you guys definitely have to take a look at what's actually going on in the world today. Also, what's going on in the world of hip-hop news and entertainment? I think the Montana Chippy D thing is actually kind of old, and I did have that one down, but we'll actually go on. I think the biggest thing that everybody's talking about is Fantasia. Fantasia has reportedly taken an overdose of aspirin and Tylenol. I think I talked about that on Wednesday. She's been released from the hospital, and, of course, the day she was released, she actually met with her boyfriend, who was in the middle of a divorce, and they actually happened to meet while she was filming her reality show, Fantasia For Real. So here's my question. My question to you guys is, why is Fantasia being treated differently than Alicia Keys? Alicia Keys, very similar. Now, we're not talking about the caliber of entertainers. We're talking about the similarities of their love lives, involved with married men who were separated, who were going through a divorce. If we understand how Alicia Keys' story has ended or began, and now we're in the middle of Fantasia's, who wasn't wrapped up as nicely as Alicia Keys. But if you look at media is treating Fantasia totally different than they're treating Alicia Keys. And what is that about? I would love to have that conversation. 347-994-1954. I mean, do we see any type of isms taking place? Colorisms, light skin versus dark skin, corporate, even if you take a look at Alicia Keys, was classically trained. She's identified very easily by mass mainstream media. Fantasia, we've seen her grow through American Idol, and for a lot of individuals, she has not refined herself enough, if I can be nice, you know, to be considered acceptable in mainstream media. So my question, is it really fair that we or people in the media are actually dogging Fantasia, you know, about what she's actually going through, and Alicia Keys went through a very similar situation? I'm not saying that they're definitely striking differences, but they're striking similarities. And why is that treatment different between the two ladies? I think that has a story to tell. Anyway, moving on in the world of hip-hop news and entertainment. Let's keep it moving like we normally do. Jennifer Aniston, this was actually reported a couple of years ago, and I know she's not hip-hop, but she actually said you don't need a man to have a baby. 347-994-1954. I'm just going to leave that one right there. Y'all marinate on that one. You don't need a man to have a baby. So, either way, a man is part of the process. I mean, we cannot, you know, create, I don't know the scientific word for it, but we cannot create within ourselves. But you don't need a man to have a baby. Very, very interesting thought pattern. So, let's keep it moving with actually going on in the world of hip-hop news and entertainment. I'm not actually sure if anything too much else that actually sparked my interest. But if anything has sparked yours, please give me a call, 347-994-1954. I know we're doing without the extra commentary of Mr. Total Package himself, The Voice, and we do wish him the best of break a leg. I don't know, Tissy, they can't say good luck. But the best of the best while he go ahead and film his video. So when we come back, I'm going to go ahead and take just a quick one. The chat room is open. Join me in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/theloveinbetween. Make sure you guys also check out theloveinbetween.com for your relationship advice and articles. I know I've been kind of relaxed on the black erotica, but I'm getting ready to start that back up real soon. Naughty tricks. I think every girl, every man, should have a bag of naughty tricks of what you need to do. And, of course, we're going to talk about that, especially with our guest coming up, Mr. Russell Irving. Don't overlook theobvious.com. Excuse me for my little pause right there. But we're going to go ahead and keep it moving. And as we do, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the night with us. It's Sunday. It's your girl, Nika Love Coach, and you have entered the Love Lounge.
Stop. today that the tears started falling. But now we're talking, touching, almost making sensual again. You can taste the familiar, because your family are supportive of this moment that was meant by your movement.
It's getting late. Why you gotta be here beside me? Watching, leading, wanting me. But I'm afraid. Don't be. But I'm afraid. Don't be. I'm so scared that you'll hurt me.
In the Love Lounge with myself, Meek, the Love Coach. My sexy sounding co-host, The Voice, will not be joining me this evening. He is actually doing his own thing with his music career, and right now he's actually in route. Oh, well, in route. Definitely in the process of filming a video. Anyway, 347-994-1954, and oh, am I, by the way, surprised. You're on with Meek, the Love Coach.
How you going to try to do the party without me? big homie, I thought you were still tied up, you know, doing your Hollywood thing and all that.
I got to excuse me, I'm hoarse, but I got to do the show. The show must go on. It's the battle of the sexes, and I'm in the battle.
No, that's going to be for September 10th.
Oh, okay. It's so much going on right now. I'm lost. I mean, you know what? But you know what? If you were here, there was so much entertainment within everything else that was just going on. You know what? It is just crazy. Like, it's just the only way I can explain it is just like when you put your family in a room on a holiday where the liquor store stays open longer than normal.
Uh-huh.
And you got that one uncle that don't get along with the other uncle. And then it's that cousin that just doesn't agree with everybody else's opinion.
Right.
And then you got the aunt that's the instigator. And that's it was great. I mean, it was very, very entertaining. If y'all were here, y'all would be laughing and just as hoarse as I am right now.
Well, big homie, I went ahead and did the What's Up World, of course. And tonight, author Russell Irving is coming on. He wrote the book Don't Overlook the Obvious. And we're going to be talking about just that. Sometimes overlooking the obvious in our relationships. So we're going to be talking about his work. And we're going to have a conversation just really flow from there. And I can't wait. So just a backtrack, though, to let people know. Should I let Battle of the Sexes? All I'm going to say is stay tuned. Can I say that? I don't give up too much right now. But Battle of the Sexes, September 10th, just stay tuned.
Yeah, flag on the plate for the voice because he's 15-yard penalty.
Right, exactly. Okay, what we're going to go ahead and do, though, but because I do see we have a caller on the line, and I have been inviting people to call in, because I asked people to call in the Fantasia and Alicia, the Fantasia issue and what she's going through. I wanted people to call in to find out, why are we treating Fantasia differently from Alicia Keys? Because I thought there are some striking similarities and there's some striking differences. So I just put that out there to the audience to see what their feedback actually would be. But we're going to go ahead and take this call. Caller is calling from area code 301. Area code 301, you are on with Nick, the Love Coach, and The Voice.
Nick, the Love Coach, Pastor Calvin. How y'all doing this evening?
How you doing, brother?
Hey, Pastor Calvin, how are you?
I'm good. I had to tune in tonight because I haven't had the opportunity to tune in before now. But awesome topic. And just to throw the point out there, Battle of the Sexes, why it's got to be a battle? Why we got to be in battle? Why can't we just love each other? What happens to that? I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. Just for FYI.
But it's all out of love, Pastor Calvin, because you know, even in church, we still like to have a little friendly competition. Nothing degrading or nothing negative, just a friendly competition. Like sometimes you want to stick your chest out because you say, I do a good job. And how you doing, buddy? In my congregation. So...
Yeah, here's what I always say to that. If you stand by the man of God, you never lose.
That's right.
All right.
I'm just putting it out there for the women. I see. I'm setting the tone for the show. I'm setting the tone.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But honestly, I think we're going to give people opportunity just that, to see the substance of the man and the woman that they actually are. So we're going to have a little fun with it and get our singles together and, you know, do it all
exactly.
in fun.
Exactly.
I am so glad you're calling in.
I got to support you.
Did you get my email? Well, guys,
I got it.
He's going to be coming on soon. We got some things in the works.
You didn't give me back and let me know when. You got to let me know when.
Okay. Not a problem. Yes. So if you're open like that, I will definitely be letting them win before the show's over with or after the show's over with.
And I will. Can I do something real quick?
Sure.
Can I do something real quick? Okay. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the broadcast, 12 noon Eastern time, for all the men. I need all the men to call in. This is all about the men. You're going to see the vulnerability. You're going to see the strength. You're going to see the spirituality. You're going to see the emotional. You're going to see the physical. You're going to see everything about a man Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at the fellowship. So for your listeners, they can just blog the fellowship. We're going to do that just for the men. So if I can have my brother call in, 12 noon if you can. If not, no big deal. But that's what we're doing. We're going to just for the men. All I need to do, the women, to do is listen.
Okay.
Hey.
What number do you, what's the information, how we contact you to express our vulnerability?
www.blogtalkradio.com/thefellowship. Call in number 347-633-9699. And again, we're going to break down the societal thought process, why women look at us the way they do, but also at the same time, as men, we about to set a whole new standard that guess what? Even though I'm a man, I can still love you and not be your man.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Right. All right. I cannot wait because, like you said, ladies need to listen and the men need to be able to express themselves. So I cannot wait to hear that conversation.
Great conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Pastor Calvin, let's go ahead and start the conversation tonight. Tonight we're talking about not overlooking the obvious in the relationship, and I'm pretty sure you have counseled plenty of couples and individuals who kind of complicate things and do overlook the obvious and take those simple steps. So what words of encouragement would you give couples out there for them to be able to take a step back and just to look at relationship basics?
Understand that before you got into a relationship, you was an individual. And your individual thinking now comes into a relationship with somebody else's individual thinking. So you got to be mature enough as male and female to understand those dynamics.
Okay.
And if you're at a place where you understand that, guess what? I can honor the fact that this woman brings enhancement to me because of who she is. And I can honor the fact that this man enhances me as a woman because of the man that he is, we can now have a conversation that says, guess what? We're building something foundational that's going to change the world. We're going to be the power couple. I'm not talking about Barack and Michelle Obama. I'm talking about the everyday individual that's in a relationship that says, guess what? I'm in this relationship because I got the hope that it's going to be something great. Well, your hope is not hopeless. So understand you're an individual. They're individuals. Have the conversation, not arguing, not yelling, but have a conversation. And if you can't have the conversation with that particular individual, you're in the wrong relationship.
Thank you, Pastor Calvin. Wise words from a wise man. I do appreciate you calling in. And with that, it does segue into our guest, Mr. Russell Irving, who's coming on. He has created numerous workshops and classes about the single life, and then he actually published something very tasteful magazine designed for the single adult. He's operated multiple websites, and he is author of Improve Your Marriage, Don't Overlook the Obvious. So you guys, just do me the honor and help me welcome Russ to the show.
Greetings, Nick. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Just great, and I've been listening to your show, and I give you an awful lot of credit for doing a show like this, Nick.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And the voice, Russell and I have just been communicating by email so much, I feel very comfortable. I feel very comfortable with him right now, and I do appreciate it. I think your bio, honestly, probably just didn't give you enough. I forgot to admit, really, one of the most important things on your bio. You've been married to, you say, the same wonderful woman for 25 years.
Yep, 25 years this past May.
Can you give them a round of applause for that one? He gets a round of applause for that one.
Who else not to listen to wise words from somebody who has been successful in your relationship? You know, it's not that it hasn't been without its ups and downs, but the fact is we're definitely going to learn a lot from you, and I definitely can't wait to hear how did you, well, let's start. How did you come up with the book concept?
Well, as you mentioned, Neek, I had spent years doing workshops largely with single adults, but many of them had been previously married. They were either divorced or widowed, all different age groups. And through other careers that I've had, you know, I've always paid attention, kind of like eavesdropped in the background to conversations, watching dynamics, checking my own marriage, and realized that most marriages don't fit on the extremes. You know, most marriage books are geared to people whose marriages are totally on the rocks or you know, just absolutely incredible and don't really need much of anything. And most of us live our lives somewhere in the middle on that happiness spectrum in our relationships. And I realize that, and I realize, Neek, that most of us kind of either settle for what we have because we're afraid that if we try and improve it, that means that we failed, because why else would we have to improve something? Or we're worried that if we try to improve it and it doesn't work out the way we had hoped, then we did fail. And I said to myself, you know, I've spent years listening to other self-help gurus and people who have gone for counseling, and I said, so much of the time what ends up being the turning point in those sessions has been the obvious, the real simplistic, bottom line, boiled to essence problem that the couple is facing. And the solutions are so obvious that people often overlook them, Neek, because they feel, well, if they're so obvious, they can't work. You know, it's almost like people forget about the Ten Commandments. Not to bring a heavy religious thing here, but, you know, the Ten Commandments, you can have whole books written about them, but isn't the real essence simply, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery? You don't need a lot of added words to get to the meat of the issue. And so I figured this is the book. It has over 500 pieces of information, of advice, and it's not meant that every single piece will work for every single couple, because everybody's unique. And what's been great about the book is I'll get feedback from someone saying, you know what, so much of it didn't make sense to us this month or next month, but suddenly this month we're in, you know, five of those things really made a difference for us. It's a book that's meant to be kept around and used a lot.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And I do have some of your great advice sitting right here in front of me, actually. And I like when you say, do not confuse not agreeing with not listening. I think
that's
when it
right.
comes to couples and relationships, that is profound. Profound. People think that you articulate a point and you have to agree. So expand on that a little bit.
Well, you know, and you hit the point. And even in my own marriage and friends' marriages, you know, someone asks for an opinion, let's say, and I ask Mary Jo for an opinion. She gives it to me. I listen to it, but you know what? It doesn't change my mind, or I decide to follow Bob's opinion. It doesn't mean I didn't listen to Mary Jo. It just means I listened, I evaluated, and this one particular piece of advice didn't sit with me. It doesn't mean the advice was bad. It just means it wasn't what I wanted in my head and in my action plan for the moment. But so often a spouse gets their defenses up and they're feeling so hurt if the advice is not listened to, they accuse the other of just being, you know, mean-spirited and never caring about what they think, and they just miss the whole point. People are people.
Right.
No one should always agree with somebody.
That's the truth, because that's how our relationship is balanced on this show, right? Because I think I'm more like the controversial side, and she's the hands-on political side. I think that's how this worked out, right?
And you know, isn't it great that it does work out that way, that you don't have to feel hurt and all bent out of shape if the other doesn't, you know, do as you ask or you think it should be done?
Right.
And I think it's phenomenal, because what you really mark on, what I talk about all the time in relationships, and I think just in general, we're given free will, you know, the right to choose for ourselves. And I think when you're talking about, you know, being able to problem solve in your relationship and maybe all the options are not there, you have the choice of choosing another option. So I think that one right there, you know, not confusing agreeing with not listening is really profound, just tremendously profound. Okay.
Now, my question is, because I know you say that people, there's so many things that people overlook the obvious. if you can name the top two things that you think people constantly maybe disagree on and they constantly just really overlook the obvious, could you point those two out off the top of your head?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let me hit the first one. You know, in every couple that I've ever known, at least one of the two ends up nagging the other person about something that's really, stupid in the scheme of life. Either they complain that the person doesn't shut the light off in the room when they leave it, or they drop their socks on the floor, don't put it away. And you know what? If it hasn't worked, if your nagging hasn't worked in the first few months, it's never going to work. So why waste the time and effort in the scheme of life? How important is it? If you lost your spouse tomorrow, would you really think back and say, you know what, he's dead or she's dead, but, you know, I'm glad now there won't be any drop socks on the floor and lights left on? Of course not. You're going to miss the person. So the nagging is number one, because nagging doesn't work. Just doesn't ever work, plain and simple. The second one has to do with lovemaking. In many marriages, too many nowadays, and we tend to think, guys, that it's just the woman, but in reality, a lot of women complain about the men not having a big sex drive and not wanting to be intimate. And you know what? You people don't marry their best platonic friend. They marry someone who's not only their best friend, but someone they have a sexual chemistry with. They don't want a platonic relationship. And, you know, when a spouse says, you know, I'm too exhausted from my day at the office or from the kids, and I'm just not in the mood, stop and think. Does your spouse who wants the sex always feel in the mood to visit your parents or go out with your friends or go to work and deal with an obnoxious boss and commuting traffic? No. They do things because it's part of the commitment, part of the vows. And intimacy among married couples is part of that.
Right. I love how you broke that down, and how you said that's just part of the commitment, part of the ordeal. And I guess a lot of people don't really understand the full concept of the commitment. So I guess we're misunderstanding that a lot.
And you're right. And you know, and one of the things that I say to people sometimes is, you know, yes, if your spouse has an affair, that's absolutely wrong. I don't believe in adultery. But you know what? If you also deny your spouse physical sexual intimacy, you're also breaking your marital vows, just in a different way, but you're still breaking the vows.
Wow.
You know, you're committing to love and cherish. Part of that love and cherish is that magical, incredible sexual energy and passion. And they deserve it. I'm not saying that you have to do it every single day or whatever, but you know what? I hear too often both men and women, they go months and months at a time without the intimacy, and you know what? It also wears on the person who wants it. That person builds resentment. Now resentment
right.
comes into the marital relationship, and now all the mechanisms, all the interactions get all discolored by that. And if you have kids, isn't it great to role model for your kids that, you know what, Mom and Dad actually hold hands, and once in a while they steal a kiss when they think no one's looking? That's what helps kids grow up with a good, healthy view of what a relationship is about.
Right.
You know what? Let me applaud you on that one, because I think it is so profound. And I'm always talking about modeling the behavior you want to see. You cannot expect your children to have healthy relationships in general, intimate or otherwise, if you're not modeling the behavior that you want to see. And I think moms and dads, you know, parents in general should model the behavior of showing affection, you know, of what's appropriate in public and what you do behind closed doors, and just being able to make that difference and determination, because we have something coming up August 21st. It's a Stop the Violence Forum. And a lot of times people think violence as far as fighting goes, and I'm stressing the dating violence and the teen fighting and the teen abuse. And I think it goes back to what they are not seeing, and they're not seeing mom and dad model those behaviors, or they see some very dysfunctional behaviors. So, you know, I definitely applaud what you just said right there. So agree with
you. And I applaud what you're doing, and let me put in a shameless plug. Hopefully the end of September, I'm going to have a similar book aimed at teenagers about what they need to not overlook in terms of going into adulthood. So that will be coming out hopefully the end of September.
Talk about that one because it's needed. It's needed.
Thank you. But, you know, when you asked about the top two, that is the top two. But one of the other top ones, guys, is the one where a spouse complains that the other no longer wants to spend time with them. That, you know, he comes home, he either has spent hours at the bar or the pool hall, or he just goes straight to the computer internet game. And he might complain that she just chit-chats with her friends or goes online to Facebook all night, and how come she won't spend time with me? And there's a simple basic rule of thumb in life. We tend to spend time, our free time, doing something that gives us pleasure. So if your spouse isn't spending time with you during their free time, that means you haven't made that one-on-one time pleasurable enough for them. It's pretty obvious. People go to what gives them pleasure. So you may need to start figuring out what you need to do differently so that your husband or wife doesn't want to just turn on the computer game or Facebook or hang out at the pool hall all night. You want to find a way to make time with you attractive, appealing, and fun.
Oh, okay. So look, I'm getting it, guys. This is the equation. So what you're saying is nagging creates lack of intimacy, which makes him feel rejected. Rejection creates resentment. Resentment creates lack of interest and lack of attention. So it all basically, people don't realize that it's just not one problem that they're pinpointing. It's a broader issue, and they're overlooking the obvious that it's more than that.
And it all relates to each other, but it's the obvious. It really is. You know, the advice in the book, someone said to me, is what my grandmother probably told my mother, you know, she was first married. And I said, you're right. You know what? We don't have a lot of those extended families anymore. And we don't have people listening to clergies or buddies or whatever. We get offended. We get up on our high horses. But it's the bottom line because it is the simple advice. Things become what they call cliches because they work, because they're true in most cases. And that's what's here. You know, one of the real quick two-liners in the book, guys, was dress for success with your spouse. How often do we take our spouse for granted? The guy on his day off only dresses in his grubbiest jeans and T-shirt, which is not all that appealing, guys, especially if you have, you know, a stomach hanging out. And the gals, you know, yes, you may have had a tough day at work with the kids too, but once in a while, at least once a week, dress up a little for your husband. But let him see the woman that he fell in love with and was attracted to. And the same for the guys. If we care enough to dress up for total strangers, why don't we care enough for our spouse? We tend to take them for granted so often, and that's such a shame because so many problems in marriages come from the fact that we stop dating our spouse. We stop paying attention to them. We just treat them as if they were a roommate instead of our lover.
Oh, that's profound. I'm not being extra excited about this, but what you said, treat them like, you know, we treat them like a roommate instead of a spouse. I think sometimes people get very comfortable, and at their comfortability, they do just that. All of a sudden, you become a roommate. I have errands to run. I have bills to pay. I have responsibilities to do. Instead of sharing a life with someone, you share duties.
That's exactly right. It becomes, your home life becomes, as you just said, like another job.
Yep.
That's not what marriage is supposed to be. That's part of it, but it's certainly not the bulk of it. And you, as you
they
said, so profound. Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. As you said so profoundly, you know, it's the role modeling for the kids. The kids nowadays, in so many, you know, families, don't see good role modeling. They either hear a lot of anger, a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming, throwing, or they see a lot of couples who barely talk to each other. They don't see a lot of loving, positive behavior and communications. And it doesn't take that much effort if we decide to get off our high horse, st- stop being so darn, you know, defensive. And you know, one of the things in the book has to do with just admit when you're wrong. You know, everybody's wrong sometime. Just own up to your mistakes and don't let it fester into this big argument. You
I like
know,
that one.
some of the best words are just saying, "I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I screwed up." Now let's just move on. You know.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's just for men, and I admit it. Sometimes we're very prideful, so that's a very hard thing to say. Whether I'm sorry, I apologize. Like I don't know if y'all remember the show Happy Days, and anytime
Absolutely.
They try to get the Fonz to say it, like he always tripped over the words, and he could never get it out. Like it was almost like his tongue didn't allow him to, or permit him to even say those words. So I think that's how, like, we all have that inner macho man that just, we don't want to be sorry. We don't want to be wrong. And I guess, I mean, that's just not with men, too, but we seem to be the one that seems like we're more too prideful to say, I'm sorry or I apologize.
But you know what? The other person will just eat up when you say you're sorry at the beginning. Because you know what? Everybody makes a damn mistake. It's when we do, and like you said, I remember the Fonz doing that all the time. You know, it's a macho thing, but you know what? If you don't, it's going to swallow up your marriage, and then what have you got? You know, you've got yourself in your shadow and child support, you know? You
right.
need to, you know, one of the other things that came up recently in a couple I know had to do with, the wife is complaining that the husband doesn't enjoy her best friend and her best friend's husband. And I have in the book, if finding that special friend is a rare happenstance, then why do you insist that your friends and their spouses become close friends with your spouse? I mean, we always hear people say, if you have three or four true friends in your life, that's incredible. So why do we expect a husband or wife to automatically have this great connection with our friend who was one in a million?
Right.
You know,
right.
it's just not realistic. You know,
most,
if it works.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
And it's like when it seems like when you're forced upon somebody, it's not, you're not really receptive or accepting of them. It's just like you can't put two husbands in the same room and expect them to get along, especially if the guy, like, they might be diehard sports fanatics. I went somewhere and I met a diehard sports fanatic, so I understand how serious it can go. Like, your husband might be a Yankees fan, and her husband might be a Boston fan. That's not going to work, you know. Or he might be a Dallas Cowboys fan, and you know he's a Redskins fan or a Raiders fan. You know, that is just not going to work because automatically they have a difference in opinion. They have two different interests. And so they're automatically going to clash, and they're not even going to want to deal with each other just off of something that they associate with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right on. You know, one of the other things that's pretty common is that I have in the book is if your relationship began as an affair, don't be surprised if one of you begins another affair someday. You know, I heard a woman complain at lunch one day that, you know, her husband's cheating on her. And her friend said, but remember, you know, you guys started having an affair while he was still married to somebody else. So he obviously has no worries about having an affair. You know, our basic nature tends not to change, okay? So if you're dating someone who's had a number of affairs, marrying them is truly risky business because what makes you think that you're really all that much more special that they're going to stop doing that? The odds of someone who doesn't have the values and is going to cheat on one spouse is probably going to cheat on the second spouse and the third and the fourth.
So that's how those guys end up with all those ex-wives.
You know, all that child support. And, you know, one of the other things with child support, you hear people complaining, I can't believe how much money goes out to alimony and child support. It stinks. But you know what? That person knew there was child support and alimony before they tied that wedding knot. So they knew up front, you don't have a right to complain in my head. You know, once you know what the score is and you accept it and you get married, then don't bitch about it. You knew child support and alimony was part of the package to you.
Very, very true. Now, you also mentioned, I'm sorry, Voice, you mentioned try fantasizing about life with your spouse instead of life with someone else.
You know, how many times do we guys or you gals, you know, sometimes in bed, but sometimes just in the course of a day, think, you know what, if I had married so-and-so from high school or from work, you know what, probably I'd have a bigger house and a better car and I'd
right.
have all these fancy things and I'd have an adoring huggy kissy and I'd be making love every other night. And, you know, how about instead of thinking about what you don't have, think about the positive parts of what you do have. It's amazing the effect that attitude has in a marriage. And if you go around having an attitude where you regret even the basics of having married them, then you know what? Everything is going to stink. Everything is going to suck. You might as well just, you know, think of what is good. And the more you think of what's good, it's an amazing thing. It's kind of like a wave in the ocean. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger the more you think of good stuff, and the more good things will happen in your marriage. It's a matter of damn attitude. You know, people in businesses say, I made a fortune because I had a positive attitude. I kept plugging through all the BS. And it's no different than a marriage. You keep plugging and thinking of the good stuff and fantasizing about the person that's lying next to you instead of the person that you maybe dated 20 years ago in high school.
You can't put it any better than that. No, I was just complimenting what he said because you can't put it any better than that. Like, I like how you break stuff down. It's like you don't take it. I like that you don't sugarcoat because I try not to sugarcoat on here. It's like, I believe in you're going to give it to somebody, just give it to them 3D. And you always just, your breakdowns are just very real.
Well, thank you. You know, it's funny. A popular blogger a while back in interviewing me said, you know, you got like these 500, one, two, or three sentence only things that just cut to the chase. And she said, it must have been a breeze to write the book, probably a couple of weeks. I said, the opposite. It's tougher to try and boil down in just a few words the essence of all the BS that goes on. So I said, but, you know, that was my point, because so many books have so much added, you know, verbiage and, you know, 15-syllable words that nobody can understand and psychobabble. And I wanted a book that the average person, I don't care what your education is, what your background, could pick it up and have it make sense. And the other thing I did that I think is neat, you know, here I go patting my back, but is, you know, like, you know, the ad companies, let's say even like Geico, they have the Geico lizard and then they have the caveman and they have different ad themes because, you know, people respond to the same thought said different ways. And it's like when you're in school, your teacher might have said something and it didn't make sense to you, but the kid sitting next to you explained it in a different way and it suddenly made sense. And that's why I sometimes took some of the thoughts and reworded them, because maybe on page 4 the thought didn't register, but on page 50, gosh, it suddenly made sense to you.
Right.
And you know what? I did notice that as I was reading through the book. It's like, I read that earlier. But they always say, too, when you talk about people's learning styles, that it's not really committed to memory until they've been exposed to it at least 3 times. So
yep,
I think it
right.
really does go back into that, you know, people understanding people's learning styles. You've addressed that in your book, that people look at things differently and process things differently. The voice and I can have a conversation. We can have a conversation and really be saying the same thing, but our delivery in which we say it can be so opposite, you know, that it's almost like, well, that's exactly what I was saying. And then, you know, you break down, you try to break it down a little bit more, or you just agree that you guys agree to the same thing, you just explained it differently and kind of move forward from there instead of debating about how one was said and what was said. And, you know, and it goes to your point, explanations can interfere with the main point being heard.
Yeah. And it can, you know. Sometimes we get so wordy and, you know, come up with 20 excuses before we hit the bottom line that what we're trying to say just gets missed. And, you know, it's again, I sound like a broken record, and even on the site don'toverlooktheobvious.com for the book, it's like it's really the bottom line. Almost every problem can be boil down to one or two sentences, and the solution the same way. You know, one of the things I sent you from the book was repetition, moderation, and success.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
someone said to me, you know, I tried one of the suggestions twice and it didn't work. I didn't get what I wanted. I said, you know what? You had this problem for 5 years. It's not going to suddenly change the first or second time you try it. It may take a month, it may take 2 months, but I will guarantee you it will make a difference. You know, we all want this magic instant bullet. It's like with diets. You know what? The bottom line to a diet, you eat less fatty foods and you move more and you exercise more.
Right.
You don't need 50 books. You don't need 50 books. You listen to Dave Ramsey is a wonderful financial coach. And his answers to people, bottom line, for crises are you pay your bills, you increase your money, and you put it on your desk, and that's what works. Because it
right.
is the simple truths, guys, that make all the difference in the world and in a relationship. And this stuff, someone said to me, does it apply to you know, gays? Does it apply to people living together? I said, absolutely. It doesn't apply just to legally married people. It applies to couple relationships. Because the same basics apply, because people are people are people. I don't care what your background or your culture is. There are certain basic human needs, wants, and desires, and certain things that will work and certain things that will never work.
Completely understandable and very well said, Russ. I really appreciate you coming on. The voice, if you don't mind, and Russ, if you don't mind, I'd actually like to bring Pastor Calvin back into this conversation because I think he'll just enrich the conversation additionally. And I would
sure.
love to hear what we have to say. You guys mind?
Not at all.
Thank you. Pastor Calvin, tongue tied. Pastor Calvin, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I know you've been listening to the conversation, and we're talking about, again, don't overlook the obvious with author Russell Irving.
You know what? I think Russell probably has hit the nail on the head. I mean, because a lot of people get caught up in what they want in a relationship and never look at what they really need.
Right.
He's speaking from the aspect of what someone may need and identifying that first before you involve yourself in a situation where you spent 3, 4, 5 years with somebody and then you finally decide to say, okay, well, they're not who I wanted or it didn't work. Well, it didn't work because, one, you didn't identify your own needs in the beginning, and then, number two, you didn't see whether or not they were fulfilling those needs or not. You were only concerned about whether they fulfilled a want, you know, your own want to have a, you know, from a woman's perspective, I want a man that's going to do this, this, and this. From a man's perspective, I want a woman to do this, this, and this. And not even realizing that your want is an unfulfilled need. And so Russell is hitting it right on the head because, you know, if we look at the basic premise of developing a relationship, you can go all the way back to grade school when you were on the mm-hmm. playground playing on the toys, the seesaw, the swings, the slide, the merry-go-round, and you begin to see how you developed a relationship with somebody just out of mere fun for playing with them, whether they were a girl or boy. And you realize that in that innocence, I've had fun. Go ahead.
No, Pastor, I wanted, first of all, thank you for your compliments and tell you that I agree with your position. You know, too often we people get into marriages and other relationships based on what can they give me? And the concept of marriage, whether you want to look at it from a religious point of view or not, should be what can I do as well for that other person to make their life better? What can I do so that they want to spend time with me, that I'm fulfilling something of that for them? And in return, when you do that, if it's the right person, they're going to want on their own to do nice things and fulfill your needs and your desires. You know, that's the key, is to give, and then you be given back, and that's when you take. And too many times people get married just on fantasy or whim without really looking at, can they fulfill my needs, and do I really care enough about them that I'm going to fulfill theirs? You know, one of the simple things but profound I've heard so often in workshops is the man who says, for Mother's Day, you know, my wife kept, you know, complaining that you know, the microwave is on its way out, so I bought her a microwave. And the wife is saying, for Mother's Day, how come he didn't take me out to a nice restaurant so I wouldn't have to cook and buy me a pretty dress or nightgown? Because he was looking at what might make his life easier, having a better microwave so she can cook him better meals, instead of what matters to her. And too many times we get selfish instead of looking at the person we married or we're living with and saying, what would make them happier? What would make them more fulfilled? And in return, I know that if I fulfill their needs because I want to, they're going to want to fulfill mine.
Right.
It's almost like God in prayer, I think. You know, God looks at us to do the right thing, you know, and I think God shines blessings when he sees people trying to do the right thing. You know, maybe they're not the blessings that we think we want and at the time we want them, but I think God smiles somehow when he sees people doing the right thing. And those same kind of ideas, I think, apply to marriage.
Wow. The voice, you still on with us?
I'm so much. Like, I can't say anything. I'm just listening and watching the room get brighter. I'm learning. I'm definitely I'm definitely trying to not look over the obvious. You know, I'm trying to be able to recognize it. So, I mean, it's stuff that, you know, I appreciate you coming on today because I've learned so much.
I know. I think it really helps us, especially when we see, you know, when we see people who have matured in life and in their relationships and then are able to give back to us so that way we can able to give to others. It's just that cycle of learning that, again, modeling the behavior we want to see, that we hope that we can be able to be a blessing to others as you guys have been to us. So, I think the same thing with voice. It's just like you just sit here and just listen to the two of them because, especially for men, and Pastor Calvin, I agree. I think there are plenty of, if we talk about gender-based help, I think there are plenty of help for women. I don't believe that there's plenty of help for men. And I think it really does go back to that old adage of a boy being a boy, suck it up, your feelings and all that. And I appreciate an opportunity like this to have this conversation because I have three strong men on the phone, you know, that our family men that were married or have been married, and it's just one of those things where people can actually see that men go through and process these things and still are able to give back so that way others have the same opportunity to have successful relationships.
And you know what, you're right on. You know, if you Google, you know, women's groups and then you Google men's groups, there's a massive difference in the number of hits you're going to get on the net because men still don't have enough resources or places to go. I have a new somewhat new website called menexpressthemselves.com for men to express feelings and views on different issues because, you know, as you said, men are taught to suck it up, and I'm sure the pastor will agree, and men's feelings tend to get overlooked sometimes. Or, you know, you have a woman who wants a sensitive guy at home, but she expects him to be, you know, super aggressive and maybe a bastard at work, you know, to provide, but to suddenly change roles in the 20 minutes it takes for him to come home and walk in the door, and suddenly she wants him to be a different person. It doesn't happen. Or, you know, I have one of the things that I sent you, which is if you marry a docile, meaning a passive person, don't expect them to be a fighter when you think that they should be one. People are, again, basically who they are. So if you marry the warm, kind, sensitive kind of guy, the odds are he's not going to be super aggressive, you know, at work or in other situations. People are who they are.
Right.
Would you guys agree with me?
I would definitely agree.
And even, you know, in my own personal experience and just – being in the position that I've been in is that there are so many people, men and women, but more I'll speak specifically to the men, in the dynamics of learning how to become a man, they've never been in a situation where they could understand how to become one.
Absolutely.
Because of the dynamics of, you know, for their entire life they've heard the perception of being a man is this, this, and this. And whenever they develop any kind of relationship with a woman as a young adult or even as an adult, they follow in suit with what they believe to be true for themselves. And that's, you know, again, why
I think Russell, what he's saying, the book that he's written, I got to get it so make sure I get the information so I can read it. But also why I'm writing the same book from a different perspective, in that we've got to deal with the emotional aspects of a man. And I think once we begin to deal with that and have that conversation where there is no, you know what, you're weak, you're a punk, or whatever the conversation may have been in the past, whereas now we develop the conversation that says, guess what? What I'm having a conversation about is enhancing me, and it's bringing me into completion as a man. It's bringing the totality of, even as I thought I was a man, I was just beginning to learn how to be a man. And I wow. tell women this all the time, you have got to stop putting the perceptions of what you want the man to be for you in his life. He's heard that his entire life. So by the time you meet him, I promise you he's probably heard it from more than 100 women. So you're not exclusive to the group. You're just another woman that's saying the same thing he's heard over and over again. And for the men, take time to yourself, because nobody else is going to enhance you until you decide to develop this spiritual enhancement within yourself to say, okay, well, wait a minute. I believe this is true about me. And this is the conversation I've been having with myself. And you know what? I'm going to consciously decide, guess what? If I don't get love, let me give it from what I believe to be true from me. And as I apply that and as I practice that, it then it begins to grow in your relationship. So then when you finally meet the woman, you then now can see that, guess what? Okay, she's not going to appreciate and value me for being the man that I am. She only wants me to be what she wants me to be for her. And so I'm not going to waste my time with this. I don't have to sleep with you. I don't have to play the game with you, get you all coerced and think that, okay, if I tell you certain things that, you know, you're gonna work with me. I tell men all the time, don't deal with an emotionally unstable woman, because that's going to exemplify the emotional instability in you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just getting it all.
You know, Pastor? I'm sorry, I meant to. But I would say, Pastor, I think that was absolutely outstanding. I couldn't have said it better. It's, you know, like it or not, and good or bad, or, you know, men are brought up, you know, and as Nick said, you know, in certain ways and certain styles. I mean, I think of my own late father who, you know, was not the typical male. He was very passive. He was not handy. You showed him a hammer. He didn't know which side to use. And I'm the same way, I have to tell you. But you know what? We helped our wives. We did dishes. We did laundry. We did shopping. But it's we model who we are. And as you said, Pastor, women need to stop having certain expectations. Or sometimes women in a relationship, I'm sure you've seen, you know, treat the husband as if they're another child. You know, they don't give them the respect. And sometimes the guys treat the women, you know, as their wives, as little kids too. I'm not putting it all on one gender, but, you
right.
know, men typically spend most of their formative years with women, be it their mother, be it the fact that most kindergarten and preschool and elementary school teachers are women, and they tend to spend more time with their aunts and their grandmothers. So those formative beginning years are largely spent with women. And, you know, when sometimes a woman complains about her husband not helping out around the house, I'll say, but the odds are he was never expected to do that growing up, so he wasn't shown how. He wasn't taught about the importance of that. So now you're expecting 35, 40 years later in his life, he's suddenly going to magically transform into super hubby for you. It doesn't work that way, you know? And Pastor, I commend you, because that's, you know, and you two, it's what, you know, we have so often unrealistic expectations of the other person. Instead of just accepting who they are and working out the dance, like, I am so unhandy, but my wife, God bless her, she knows more about cars and repairing things than I will ever know. But we worked out that dance. I do most of the shopping. On Sundays, I do all the cooking because I love to cook. You know, I help with a lot of the laundry. She does some of the other things. It's, you find that balance. You find that dance. You throw away all the stereotype nonsense. You have to stop caring about what friends and neighbors say, you know. You know, I had someone say, you know, Russ isn't a real man. He's not into car repairs and this and that. You know what? I let it go off my shoulders, because I'm probably more of a man than he is. It's a matter of you do what you're comfortable with, you do what you're good at, and your spouse needs to learn to accept that. Sometimes I feel like I preach way too much. I apologize.
No. All three of you guys.
I'm just very
phenomenal.
Just very passionate. I'm just very passionate, Nico.
Yeah, I love it.
Over the years, so much, seen so much in the response. I mean, the website, DonorOverlookTheIrish.com, we've had about 250,000 hits in 1 year. Which is phenomenal because I've done no real advertising for it. It's mostly word of mouth, and it's a good feeling because, you know, I had a guy say to me, he said, you know what, I got a copy of the book, and he said, my wife looked at the title, Improve Your Marriage, Don't Overlook the Obvious, and she said, this is ridiculous. But he said, one night, we both got a glass of wine, got on the couch. Now, this is a second marriage for both of them. They started reading it, and they said, the first 20 pages, we know we do. Then they found two or three things that they really thought would make a difference, and they said they put them into practice, and it did make a difference. And I said, you know what? Was the book worth it, even if those were the only things you would ever find worthwhile? He said, absolutely. He said, how do you put a price on less arguing and in more cuddling time? I said, you don't.
I'm feeling the positivity, and I'm a true believer that everything happens for a reason. Because honestly, today was a show, and Neek, you can vouch for this. I wasn't supposed to call in. I pretty much came through. And to get two very beautiful, different, and honest opinions is just beautiful, and I feel like this is all happening for like a reason. Like maybe we have to work on maybe we're like the super friends in a sense. We all have to get together. Maybe we have to do like a workshop or a conference together where we can counsel men and broaden the horizons, because the room has to be getting brighter from people just listening. Because I'm learning
a
lot. I'm learning a lot just being here. Like I don't have to be the co-host. I can be a fan tonight and just interject when needed.
but you know what? But your interjections are perfect. And you know what? It's not that I wrote this book because I'm some absolute genius, and I'm sure the pastor feels the same about his book. We get so much inspiration from people we talk to, from people we've counseled, from just regular people. That's where so many of the ideas come from, because you know, it's from the sharing of the experience of people of all different backgrounds, and I mean that sincerely, that's what makes differences in this world, in any relationship. It's being willing to listen to somebody, especially somebody who you think, in your first thought, oh, that person probably knows nothing or is arrogant, whatever, and then you are amazed when you hear them speak. This person is wonderful. They have great insight. They made me think of something I never thought of before. That's the beauty of the kind of show that you guys both co-host here, and with the pastor, with you calling in, because you know what? No one has to always agree, but you have to learn from one another. To me, that's the difference. You don't have to agree. You don't have to accept.
Right.
But you need to listen and learn, and the magic. When that light bulb goes off, maybe a week later, I'll rethink something that one of the three of you said, and I'll say, you know what? That's a whole different slant than what I thought, and it makes so much sense. And that's the beauty of the shows like you guys are doing here, because there aren't many places to get it. Most of the shows are very judgmental, very, you know, critical. They're not positive. You know, I tried as much as possible in the book to not paint any one person, male or female, as the victim and the other one as the aggressor or the obnoxious one, because it's not true. We all at different times are good and bad and mediocre, but the beauty of it, the absolute beauty, is when we listen to each other and let it roll around in our head like an ice cube that we're tossing around in our drink, and as it melts into the rest of us. And that's the beauty of the kind of show you guys have here.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
I can't say it too much more. It's just like it feels good to hear, you know, people doing the same thing that we're doing and trying to connect and just broaden people's horizon. It feels good for somebody to understand our positivity and our motives and our push and our drive and what we're trying to do, and especially somebody of your stature to recognize that. So, I mean, I'm fully flattered.
Well, I'm honored.
When we go back to The Voice, we had phenomenal callers who called in last week, and what we find is a lot of men listen to our show for one reason or another. And we try to be non-judgmental, we try to be supportive of both genders, because it is about having healthy partners in a healthy relationship, and honestly having people understand and develop a healthy sense of self. And that's what we try to do, you know, educate and entertain, but with that being our overall mission. And when the gentleman called last week, he's getting ready to marry his fiance, you know, and he's going through these thoughts of insecurity and is he doing the right thing, and then going from being unfaithful in his relationship early and then committing himself to become faithful and not trusting himself. And I think a conversation like this gives him a vehicle to stay encouraged. He mentioned the other day that when he called, he was actually in Wings to Go, which is like a fast food place, and he was actually in there, crying. He says, "Yeah, he was actually crying to show that emotion, to show that you know people are out there trying to help." That's exactly what this show is a vehicle for, and I encourage anyone who's listening to call in if you have a relationship dilemma. That is what we're here for. And to take this show and to post it to others, not for our own benefits, but for the benefits of others who may hear, all of us who are on this line, who may Google the names, who may look us up, who wants to listen to the fellowship Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and get that word and get that way of encouragement and buy Russ's book and then really start their journey of not overlooking the obvious and what I call tapping into their power to create something wonderful. I'm going to get off my soapbox.
No, Kitten, that was wonderfully said. That was wonderfully said. Can I read something else in the book that I think makes a great impact for couples? As a cup of coffee is to awakening the mind, a morning kiss is to awakening the heart and the spirit. People don't realize until they do it just how powerful that morning kiss can be for starting the other person's day. And I met an author at a conference. It's totally unrelated to this field. It was actually a computer conference, because I've dabbled in that quite a bit in my past and present. And this fellow who writes history books was saying his parents, who have been married like 40, 50 years, have always done the same little dance. He says the father gets up, I don't know, 7 in the morning. He makes a cup of coffee for the wife, brings it up to her. She sips on it, and a half hour later, she comes down, makes him breakfast, gives him his lunch. They kiss each other goodbye, and he said the magic of just that morning ritual, something as simple as one giving the other coffee and the other one breakfast and them both giving each other a kiss, he said that has held his parents in such good standing all of those decades. And it made such an impact on him as a child, he tries to do it with his wife. And you know what? Mm-hmm. That goes back to the modeling, Nick, that you were talking about and the rest of you, that, you know, it's these magical moments. It's focusing on the positive, as you said. It's modeling for the kids. And that's what it's all about. I mean, it's... You know, that will help the next generation. And his generation, I'm sure, this guy's Dan's generation, with his kids will carry it on with their spouses. And isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what it should be about?
Very much so.
You know, it's a profound thing that we're all having this conversation, and you guys have created this vehicle for your listeners. And then the other thing is also that you can sense the sensitivity in the hearts of the people that are speaking.
And sorry, guys.
What's missing a lot of relationships is the sensitivity of the heart. You know what I mean? I have a different vehicle in which I can come from, but I have a vehicle of life. You know what I mean? Most people say, "Oh, you're a pastor, then you're doing something." No, I understand life. The only way I got to this point was because I screwed up a lot. And
we all screwed up a lot in our lives.
And I'm not afraid to admit that I screwed up in relationships. But in screwing up in my relationships, even in the spiritual awareness that I got, I understood that there was something in me that I wasn't giving. there was a part of me that I was not giving. And I always say to anybody that comes and talks to me or that calls me or texts me, email me, whatever, if you do not give the thing that you're holding close to you to your relationship will always die. And you'll find
wow,
out
the
very thing that you're holding on to is the very thing that is life to your relationship. You thought it was more valuable because you were being selfish about it. But if you give it to the relationship, your relationship again then gets life in another way that you never even imagined. So now you're putting more into it than what you thought you were putting into it. And that's the thing we've got to deal with, is that most people think that because I gave him money or I bought her a car or I bought her a house and she's left. No, that has nothing to do with the relationship. Because at the end of the day, you go buy the car, the house, you get the food, the clothes, you get the kids, you get all those things. And at the end of it all, at the end of that game, you find yourself being a loser. That means that you never got in the game to play. You just sat on the bench and watched the winners win the game and wondered who was the loser, and that was you.
I love that analogy because I'm a
salesman. So beautifully said, Pastor. So beautifully said. And you're right. People hold back. They have bad expectations. Or, you know, one of the things like I have in there is, you know, don't punish your spouse for the sins of the one before them. You know, if you're going to do that, then don't bother getting remarried. I mean, you know, you may have been married to a jerk or a B-word woman before or something, but you know what? If you supposedly love and trust this person, then don't keep, you know, treating them like they were dirt because they, someone else treated you like dirt.
Right. I got to run. If you guys can forward me Russell's information, I'd love to stay in touch with you. I'd love to stay in touch. And the only reason why I say this is profound is because I've been wondering how I was going to complete this manuscript. And he just revealed to me I can complete it by this conversation. And if you can forward that information to me, I promise you, it would be a tremendous blessing to us to sit and talk and have a good conversation, but also with Nick and the voice. You guys provide great inspiration. I mean, as a young and vibrant group and civilians in our communities, in our world, you guys have provided something tremendous for a generation that's behind us that never even seen hope. You guys are providing that. Don't ever think that you're not doing something great. Don't ever think that your voice is not being heard. It's being heard because you are what I consider the bridge between the old and the new.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I'm saying that from a biblical perspective. The bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament was the book of Acts. And that was the development of the family, or the church, if you will. That was the coming together. You guys provide that. That's why I have the utmost respect for you. That's why I enjoy coming and listening to the broadcast. That's why I enjoy the humbleness. There's humility in everything that you guys are doing. There's humility in that. And with humility comes great reward. There's a great reward that comes with humility. And you guys provide that, so I thank you. And if you can pass that information, Russ, God bless you, man.
Absolutely, Pastor. Same to you, Pastor.
I'm inspired. So if you guys can forward it to me on BTR, and again, we're doing the whole man thing. Russ, if you can call in tomorrow, Tuesday or Wednesday at 12 o'clock Eastern Time, I'd love to get your insight because I think it's going to be valuable. If you can do that for me, I greatly appreciate it. If not, no big deal.
I will have to check my schedule, but if you can forward me the details and the numbers, I will do my best to try. I'm not sure I can, but if I absolutely can, I absolutely will.
Thank you very much. God bless you all. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
God bless you, Pastor Calvin. Thank you for coming on. Thank you.
Have a good one.
And Russ, thank you, too, because, like I said, it's just a tremendous vehicle in what you're actually doing and to break things down. Honestly, to the point that I'm going to, you know, I always look for books as a therapist that I can add to my collection because I think the one thing, just like you mentioned earlier, you mentioned even in your talking points, is that people can get lost in, you know, psychobabble. They can get lost in the vernacular. They can get lost in the multi-words and It's one of those, it's 20 one
syllable
of those things
words
where I like,
that don't make sense.
So yeah, thank you. I couldn't put it. But it gets to the point where you want to simplify things. And it's, we can tell people you have to communicate. We can tell people you have to do better. But if we don't teach them, they'll never learn how to. And your book teaches people. And that's why I can appreciate that. And it's going into my therapy collection because I will be doing groups on your book. And I really and sincerely mean that because it's something that whether I'm dealing with an adolescent, you know, who is going through something or a pre-adolescent, they can grasp these concepts and they can understand these concepts. And if I have to for my adults and for my couples and my singles, it's still information and concepts that they can grasp and understand. So I definitely applaud your work.
Well, thank you. And actually, if you could see me, I'm blushing. I truly take that as a high compliment from the two of you, because that was my intent, to provide a teaching thing because, you know, it's one thing to say people should behave a certain way and grow up and act mature, but if they've never been shown and never been taught, how can we expect them to go and do it and to live it?
Right.
And, you know, we live in an age of Twitter and, you know, CNN headline news and quick and short bursts of stuff. And a lot of people think along those lines and don't have time to read through the psychobabble and the rest. And that's why I thought a book of this type would mean a lot for people because, again, it's something that you pick up and look at from time to time. Something may click today, it may not click tomorrow, it may click next month, but that's the beauty of showing people, as you said, Neek, and you two voice that, you know, people, in the pastor, people have to be shown what is expected, good ways, they have to see that modeling, because otherwise they can't just do it spontaneously on their own.
Right. And, I, you know,
I truly appreciate the honor.
I have key words. And so if you put this in your next book, you have to put in parentheses, as heard from the voice, we have to learn how to symbolize and not to materialize.
That's a good one, that is. And you know what, and send that into the website and I'll add that on with your name or something. Because I think that's
okay.
Important. You know, or
certainly,
the men express themselves, you know, site. You know, because it's the whole idea of a community. That's how we learn. That's how we get new points of view. It's that sharing and having someone on the other end, like you guys, who aren't being judgmental. There's a time and place to be judgmental, and there's a time and place to just listen and absorb.
Right. And I think for even for myself growing up, it was one of those things where I saw behavior that I did not want to model. And I think even in my practice as a therapist, I have to realize how my personal beliefs can affect my professional performance, and I didn't want that to get in the way, you know. So regardless of where I'm needed and where I'm directed to go, you know, I wanted to be assistance because, you know, you look just like you said, it's not about creed or culture. You know, we're humans, and there's certain basic necessities, needs, and desires that we all have. You know, and I think
right.
that commonality in itself is a strong thread to keep us together. I mean, I've sat across from individuals who were part of the KKK and Aryan Nation. I have had to sit across from people who don't speak English. You know, there was a language barrier there. And I was able to find a commonality because they were fathers, they were sons. You know, they were somebody significant others. And when it comes down to the language of relationships, we connect. People connect to each other. And it's, so I just, you know, I applaud you for finding and strengthening that thread of allowing us to connect.
Well, and you know what? And you just touched a spot in me just now with what you said. You know, my parents, God rest their souls, are both gone. But there are a couple of major lessons that they taught me that have carried me well in my life. One is that every person and every job is of value. I don't care if it's the trash collector, the busboy in the restaurant, everybody's job is critical to the world and not better than someone else's. And the other thing they taught is that in every group of people, whether you talk religious groups, you talk racially, you talk politically, in every group, guys, and I'm sure you've seen it, there's good and bad in every single group. No group has a monopoly on the truth. No group has a monopoly on goodness and wisdom, and every group has its share of A-blanks. Every group has its share of wonderful people. And the minute you can remember that, I just like when you said you sat across from KKK people in a restaurant, I'll tell you that I am Jewish, my wife is Catholic, and I worked in a restaurant, and one of the crew members that got hired by somebody else was a skinhead. And he made it clear that he did not like Jews. And by the end of about a month, we became good buddies. Because we learned to look past things, and we get to see people as people. And, you know, if more of us realize that every single group has its share of jerks and wonder and angels, then you know what? So much of the problems that we have, we wouldn't have anymore. If we actually respected people, if we actually listened to them, if we actually realized we're the religion we are because our parents were that religion, not for any other reason, if we realize that our political beliefs are pretty much because that's what we were taught and grew up with, and if we actually were open-minded, we might not change our minds, but we might at least be more respectful of the other person's position. And that's the key. Too often people make judgments about a race or a group of people because they don't know them. It's ignorance that really breeds, I think, true hatred and resentment.
Right.
Not from people who have actually known someone. Or we make a snap judgment that because one person was no good, that the whole group of people have to be no good. But we don't look at our own kind and say, in our own myths, we've known good and bad exist. So why not give the other people the benefit of the doubt? And it goes back to the marriage. That's what I said. Don't judge, you know, your current spouse by past spouses or boyfriends or girlfriends or parents. Everybody has the right to be given a fair chance to prove themselves as to who they are. And only then will you know, did you make the right choice in the spouse? Only then will you know, was that person a good person or not? When you give them the chance to grow, to show you who they are, for them to feel comfortable enough in the marriage, to speak their mind without worrying that you're going to put them down or throw something at them or, you know, make fun of them. You know, one of the things I put in the book is, you know, a lot of times a spouse at a party or cookout or something will make jokes at their spouse's expense. You know what?
Right.
Nobody likes to be the butt of a joke. And especially if it's your spouse, it's going to breed resentment. Think before you speak, you know? You know, before you open your mouth, picture the words that are going to come out of it and kind of decide, you know, would you want those words spoken to you?
Right.
You know, it's that old thing of, you know, do unto others as you want them to do unto you, and it's true.
Right.
And if we did that, you know, I mean, and it goes back to what you guys are doing with the show. You guys are providing a forum for people to call and feel comfortable, for people to hear different points of views, for people to express the feelings without having to put down the other person. You people are doing that, and I commend you both because we need more of that and less of the talk shows that I hear that pretty much just condemn one group or another without just trying to work things out for everybody's satisfaction.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate it, Russ. And I appreciate our time with you tonight on the show. We're going to have to go ahead and get ready to wrap up. But can you please let people know how can they get a hold of you? How can they get your book? And I believe you have a special announcement that you need to make as well.
Absolutely. The name of the book, again, is Improve Your Marriage, Don't Overlook the Obvious. It's available on my website. It's available at Amazon.com. It's available at brick-and-mortar regular bookstores, at a whole bunch of other online bookstores, at some libraries around the country. And it's also just now, as of a few days ago, so this is an announcement, Amazon asked me, would I mind making the book available for their Kindle e-book reader? And I said, I'm honored. So as of this past weekend, it is now available for a download if you have a Kindle. The name of the website is Don't Overlook the Obvious, www.thedontsleep.com. There's no apostrophe in the don't in the website address. I also have a site, menexpressthemselves.com, and I am coming out, like I said, with a book very shortly that's somewhat similar, geared for teenagers, because in a former life, if you will, I did an awful lot of work with teenagers, including being a token male for National Girls Organization as health and sexuality advisor. So I have a range of experiences and information that I want to get out there to people that will hopefully help them have a better life.
Well, I so appreciate you, and you definitely have a wealth of information to share, and I cannot wait for your next book.
Thank you, and
okay.
I will get one to you once it's out.
Actually, I do have, before you go, I have a caller who's actually asking if they can ask a question. So, Russ, can you
sure.
take a question before you go? All right.
Absolutely.
Great. Caller, area code 302, my apologies for the delay, but you're on with Nika Love Coach, The Voice, and Russell Irving.
Good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
Hi.
I just want to say that the conversation tonight has been enlightening. It's been delightful to hear you guys. My question is, I've been with my husband for almost 14 years. We've been married for a little over 3 years. Separated for a year and 3 months or something like that. But we still keep in contact and we're really good friends, so to speak. And Russ, what you were saying about, you know, growing up differently and families have different views of life. And, like, my family was always loving. My dad did. He was the one that went out there and worked, brought home, you know, the paycheck, and my mom, she also worked, but everything was pretty much 50-50, or everybody was giving their all, and that's what I expect out of my relationship and out of my marriage. However, in my relationship, my marriage, it was pretty much one-sided. And so now, you know, that we're separated, and I'm doing still, I feel as though when we were married together, I was doing basically everything. And now that we're separated, I'm really doing everything by myself. But he wants to work things through. He wants to work it out. And I'm like, when is it enough? Like,
well,
here's
some insight. And again, I only have a snapshot of what you're saying. What's your first name? I'm sorry.
It's Ro.
Okay. You don't have to if you're not comfortable. That's fine. What I was going to say is sometimes, you know, a relationship and a marriage truly is not meant to be. And that's something you have to figure out. But the other thing in listening to what you're saying is, and please don't be offended by this, but you were explaining things as if I'm an outsider looking in, as if the entire fault for the relationship not working out was his. And I didn't hear an ownership on yours. And I guess what I've learned over the years is that in every relationship, you know, if it's a good one, it's the work of both. And if it's a bad one, it's still the work of both. May not be, you know, equal amounts of blame to go around, but there still might be something. So I guess my suggestion to you is before you guys reconnect again and get back together, do some soul searching and figure out what were things that you did not do right or could have done better. You know, in some instances where the other spouse does not chip in enough, it's because, let's say it's the wife, doesn't ask the man to help, you know, can you pick up a kid at school? Can you run this errand for me? They order them as if they were a child. In delivery of how you say things is very important, because sometimes men react very hostily to being told or ordered what to do. And if the guy wasn't brought up doing a lot of those helpful things around the house, you got to ease him in. You know, you can't like bombard him with 50 demands. Go slow. And you know, if he sees that you're only asking one thing this week, it's easier for him maybe to do that one thing. And then 3 or 4 weeks from now, you add another thing. You know what I'm saying? You kind of like ease them into a different change of behavior. because nothing is going to change instantly, especially after the number of years you guys have been together. Again, I don't know from what you tell me if you guys are truly meant for each other. That's something you're going to have to figure out. But if you do reconnect, you have to first own up in your own head, at least, your mistakes. And if you've been someone that keeps telling him what he's done wrong, you've got to own up to him verbally what you've done wrong and what you've committed now to do differently to make it work. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And can I interject real quick? The only thing I want to say is, this is like, you have to realize if you're asking him for help, like he said, it could be a lot about delivery, because even if you look at it, and we said it before, like men, sometimes we have a tendency to think like children. So if you realize, if you can talk to a child and ask them to do a lot more, and it's more effective than yelling at them. But at the same time, a lot of men might not have the knowledge of the things that you're asking them for. If a man's never washed his clothes from the time he was a baby to the time he was a grown man, he's not going to know how. We're thinking, yeah, it's simple. The directions on the back: start water, turn knob, turn on, put soap in, put clothes in, shut lid. But for some people, that process is complicated. So it's automatically going to be a rebuttal, because they feel as though that's something that should be handled as, maybe like role placement. We have a thing we get caught up in as in role placement, where somebody that's not exposed to sharing and doing things 50-50 feel as though it's a certain somebody's job to do it, instead of balancing and saying, you know what, maybe I can wash the clothes today, you can do them tomorrow, I'll wash the dishes, we can share this. But if there's no understanding there, and you start the relationship how you started, then it continues that way. They're going to continue without the lack of knowledge. They're going to continue without the know-how. They're going to continue to do with what they just know how to do. And if it's just sit back and be catered to, then that's expectation. That's something that pretty much was founded at an early age, and it's hard to reprogram that in a lot of people.
That is excellent. Absolutely excellent.
I agree.
Truly right on.
I agree, but after 14 years, and yes, I ask, I try not to yell, because I ask first, and I ask nicely, and as far as my part, I take my blame, because at times, I did not show enough affection, and that was the problem. He was saying that I wouldn't show enough affection, and didn't give him enough attention, and for me, when I was given that, I wasn't receiving the same. I wasn't getting the same respect. So it's like, you know, I got just tired of asking, tired of being the one that, you know, has to do everything and giving and giving and giving and not really receiving.
But like, I'm sorry, and that just pans out to what I was saying. Like, you know, if he doesn't know how, I mean, you have to realize, like, men are very, very much programmed. Women get the kitchen set, the Betsy Wetsy, they're taught how to be mothers to the future plan. We're given trucks, Nerf balls, and told to go outside and don't cry. So all these things come into play later on in life. And just like he said, everybody remembers this, the phrase that grandmama always tells you, is every time you point one finger out, there's always fingers pointing back at you. So there's a balance to what happens. There's a balance to what they see are your faults, and they're going to be a balance to his faults. But the only thing, and as a voice and as a man, as just a friendly ear, I can always tell you, anything that you ask him to expose himself, to be vulnerable, to kind of rectify the situation, you cannot respond negatively to what he exposes to you.
Yeah, and I agree. And then the last thing would be, you know, unfortunately, there are relationships that truly are just not meant to work out. And that's something only you can do soul searching and figure out. You know, many relationships can be saved, but to be honest, not everyone. And sometimes you have to learn when you have to cut your losses and move on. It doesn't mean the other person was bad. It just means that the two of you just couldn't make a go of it. And it's hard to accept, but sometimes that is the reality.
Good. That's true.
Letting go is one of the most difficult things.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, people, have told me after it's been done that in their heart of hearts, they always knew whether the right thing was to keep trying to work it out or to walk away. They just very often didn't have the courage to do it, but they knew somewhere deep inside what the right thing was. And trust your inner gut, as I guess the last thing I'd leave you with is, if your inner gut says you think things can really change, then go for it. If your inner gut says we're just both good people and love each other, but we just can't live together, then accept it and move on. You have to trust your gut.
That's good, because that's what my gut is telling me.
Okay, then trust your gut. It can be so right. difficult to end, especially a long-term relationship like that, but if your gut truly says we've tried and tried our best, it's just not going to work. You know, I believe we can love more than one person in our life. They're not all meant to last. And you know what? If you learn the lessons and you've learned what you did wrong and what they did wrong, then you're better equipped the next time to hopefully not repeat the mistake. But trust your gut as to whether or not to give it another chance or not.
Well said. Thank you.
And I wish you the best. I wish you the best.
Thank you. Thank you. And good luck to you.
Thank you, Amika, for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you, Meek. And good night to you all.
Good night,
you.
Honey. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, Russ. Thank you. That was honestly excellent advice from both of you guys. And to hear it from a man's perspective, again, I want to highlight that, because it's not about what he should have done, girl, you know, all that negativity. It really is about, you know, ownership in both parts of the relationship. You guys gave really great advice.
Well, voice really is so right on tonight. I admire you, voice.
Thank you very much,
sir. Great head on your shoulders. And sir was my late father, maybe, but I'm just plain old Russ, you know. I'm not a sir, that's for sure. Maybe up there in age, but not, you know.
Well, we so appreciate your wisdom and your time with us this evening. And like I said, Russ, please, you're more than welcome. Replay the show for your friends. You can post it. You can take the archive show and you can post it wherever you need to, so that people have a clear understanding of what you're about, the energy that you bring. You are definitely phenomenal. And I thank you for helping our callers and talking with us with Pastor Calvin, because it just adds to the essence of what you are contributing to healthy relationships. And I applaud you. Say thank you.
Well, and I thank you for this opportunity. And again, you know what? God bless all of us with the potential, and, you know, if we all use it and we respect one another and listen to one another, I think then we're fulfilling what God wants us to do.
Thank you. Exactly. Now, for the folks, again, tell them your new website again. Don't overlook the obvious.com.
No apostrophe and don't. And the other one is menexpressthemselves.com.
Yes, and I'll be definitely to you.
And I also have an educational site for kids that started after 9/11 called specialheroes.com, where I try and write just little short things about different everyday kind of people that are making a difference in the world. So that's kind of just done as a not for any money. I think that's really done just as a way to help kids and maybe adults just learn that a whole bunch of everyday people can do incredible things to help one another in this life.
Okay.
All right. Thank you both. And it's a great show again, and have a great night.
Thank you. You do the same.
Bye.
You guys are listening. Bye-bye. You guys, we are in the Love Lounge with Meek the Love Coach and The Voice, and we just heard one of our very special guests, author Russ Irving, author of Improve Your Marriage, Don't Overlook the Obvious. And I hope you guys go back to archive the show if you missed the entire show, because it's phenomenal. Honestly, it really is phenomenal. It's very easy to use, and like you said, if you may not use it now, you may use it months from now, a couple of weeks from now, but I definitely say you're going to use it, and it's a good conversation piece. So The Voice, you know what? I know you've been so busy today. I know you're probably dog tired, but I so appreciate you coming in on this show, because I think it's been phenomenal.
I you know, I have to hold it down for you, since I do what I can do when I can do it, like I do it for TV, not regular. It has to be cable.
Hey. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and definitely. So go ahead. We're getting ready to close out the show. We got about 5 minutes left, so let's go ahead. So we're going to rush at the end. So what do you guys say to wrap up the show, big homie?
I don't have much to say tonight. Like, it's pretty much all been said. You know where to get us on Wednesday. You know where to get us on Sunday. You know, please continue to join in, and please continue to listen. We're going to be here for you.
Right. I appreciate all of my listeners. I appreciate all the callers who called in. Thanks to Pastor Calvin of the Fellowship on Blog Talk Radio. Check him out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. He has a very special event going on Blog Talk Radio exclusively for the men and women. We want to be the fly on the wall. That is the opportunity and the place to actually be that fly on the wall. And our very special guest, Russ Irving, a phenomenal, phenomenal author. Good things to come out of this relationship, and I really, truly, truly appreciate his time. You guys, if you have any relationship problems, dilemmas, or anything of that nature, you can catch us on your relationship advice show, thelovinbetween.com. And, of course, if you live in the area of Jersey, Philadelphia, and Delaware, stay in touch with us at divasandgents.com. We will be having some very good live events coming. So, Nick, the Love Coach, and the Voice is coming to an area near you, most definitely. Until next time, catch us on Wednesday, 11 p.m. We're going to go ahead and keep the party moving. You know how we do. And until then, I think that's all I have, The Voice. Peace and love.
What's up, world? It's your girl, Nika Love Coach. Got a relationship dilemma? Then check me out every Wednesday at 11 p.m. on The Relationship Advice Show, The Love in Between, featured on Blog Talk Radio. With my co-host, The Voice, we are giving eargasms and back spasms. You don't want to miss the erotica inside.